G for gesture, as well as gargoyle and gaggle. There is an influential essay by Giorgio Agamben, Italian philosopher, called Notes on Gesture, which dates from 1990, where he discusses the transformation of gesture in society in the 19th century. A society transformed from a class society to a more democratic society, from aristocracy to bourgeoisie and so on. The set of gestures that were linked to particular kind of classes transformed, and gestures became more particular, more idiosyncratic, less standardized and less cultured in that sense. He also goes on to talk about the phenomenon of Tourette and Tic's spasms and so on, as if they also turned up around that period, which is of course a construction of his. He links this whole phenomenon with a new medium in the arts and in society and in culture, which is cinema, which is also a democratic art form in the sense that it's widely accessible. And in the early black and white silent movie, gesture is very present through the close-up of the camera, the fact that gestures of the hands and the face are brought close to the beholder. It is as if this loss of gesture has been studied and then also recovered within that art form. Later on, and that's where it gets interesting, if you look at gesture today, he discusses the idea of gesture on a more philosophical level as that which expresses humanity as a way of being in mediality. Gesture being something between mere mediality and language. It's kind of a sense of embodiment or language that gets stuck in the body. He speaks about the gag also. The gag being a mouthpiece that blocks or hinders speech. Not quite like the pebbles in the mouth of Demosthenes, but much more like the something that makes one gag and brings up this guttural glottis kind of sound. So it's language on its way to becoming shared by a larger group. It's still stuck in the body. There's a kind of heavy materiality. Perhaps it's balancing between two extremes. So if for Agamben it's very much stuck, and therefore there's a suspense of the end, and therefore there is a kind of political activity or quality in the gesture, I think we can also speak of the promise of language. So rather than looking at Tourette and so on as, or the loss of gesture as a pathology, we can look at it as idiosyncrasy that has a promise of language in itself, meaning that for the particularity of each individual, these gestures, they can become a language and can become shared by a larger group, but they're not quite taking off yet. So this brings me to Gargoyle. Last week in the rehearsals, the dancers were doing all kinds of animals, looking at the scene happening centrally in the space. They were looking from the sides, from the perimeter. Now, gargoyles are these animals and fable animals that decorate Gothic cathedrals. So they have very much this quality of animals that populate the periphery. And though they have become stuck in language, literally they have become sculptures gagged in huge masses of stone. They've lost perhaps their sense of gesture also, because they have become symbolical merely. And then thinking about the promise of language and the gag and the glottis and the guttural that kind of sound gugging in the glottis, right? I thought we could move from the gag to the gaggle. And the gaggle is curiously a noun to denote a group of geese. And it's only used for geese. So you can speak about a gaggle of geese and about a flight of geese. A flight of geese is when the geese are flying. A gaggle of geese is when they're not quite taking off, which is just like the gesture is not quite taking off. And yet they're in a group, a gaggle. So there's this promise of taking up and placing one's idiosyncrasy in a gestural way within a larger group, hence becoming language. So therefore, gesture, gag, gargoyle, gaggle.